you have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Numbers. I would like to read from Numbers chapter 24. If you don't have your own Bible, I do encourage you to all get a Bible that are there on the pews and look at the Word of God as I try to read from God's holy Word. Numbers chapter 24. The Word of God here is talking about an occasion where Balaam, who was a prophet, there are those that believe he was not a child of God and believe that he was just a false prophet, but I personally believe that he was a child of God. Balaam was a man that did a lot of prophesying. He had his faults. He had his problems. You remember that Balak, the king of Moab, you remember how Balak came to Balaam and wanted Balaam to prophesy evil about Israel. He wanted Balaam to stand up and declare to the children of Israel that Balak and the Moabites, they were going to defeat them in battle. Balaam wanted to do that, I think, sometimes because he had been offered a lot of money if he would do that. And I think he was tempted to do that, but he did not do that because God made it clear that he had better not declare evil against Israel. So instead of declaring evil against Israel, as he stood up and spoke, he proclaimed blessings and honor upon Israel and declared that Israel was going to defeat the Moabites. So that made Balak very upset. We're going to be reading now from Numbers chapter 24, beginning in verse 14. Numbers chapter 24, beginning in verse 14. I'll not engage in further audible prayer, but I do ask all of you to pray that God will help us and bless us as we study from God's holy word. Numbers chapter 24, beginning in verse 14. The word of God says, "And now behold, I go unto my people. Come therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God, and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheph. And Edom shall be a possession, Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city." This passage of Scripture is a prophecy by Balaam. And though it's prophesying specifically about Israel and about the Moabites and things that were going to happen in that day, there also, I believe, is a very strong and a clear prophecy about the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think all of you know that in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the Word of God many times prophesies the coming of Jesus Christ. Sometimes it'll do it in a very clear way where you know that's talking about Jesus. Other time it's in a rather obscure way and you might have a little trouble recognizing that's talking about Jesus. But when you get to the New Testament, here's what Jesus said, and I want you to remember this. Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures." Now, the only Scriptures that they had at the time Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures," were the Old Testament. And he said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me." Now what was Jesus saying there when he says those Scriptures testify about Jesus Christ? He was saying, you go anywhere you want to in the Bible, and though you don't find the name Jesus in the Old Testament, the Old Testament is talking about Jesus Christ. "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me." And I believe right here in this prophecy of Balaam, look at verse 17 especially. In verse 17 he says, I shall see him, I believe the pronoun him is referring to Jesus Christ, I shall see him, but not now. In other words, it's not something that was about to happen while Balaam was speaking. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. Listen to what he says. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheph. I want you to think about the prophecy specifically, where he says, there shall come a star, there shall come a star out of Jacob. Are there many times in the Bible that Jesus is compared to things in nature? Are there many times that, in fact, I would say this. I would say that everything that is beautiful and everything that is strong and powerful and mighty, I think that you can see Christ in all those things. I think that all around us we can see Jesus. For example, the Word of God makes it plain that He is called, I'm talking about Jesus, He's called the Lily of the what? He's called the Lily of the Valley. What's that mean? Why is Jesus called the Lily of the Valley? It's because of His beauty and His holiness that while you're down in the valley, that you have this one who is with you, who is Jesus Christ, and He's the Lily of the Valley. He's also called the Rose of Sharon, isn't He? He's called the Lily of the Valley. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's called the Lamb of God. What's that mean? Every one of these different expressions, doesn't matter what you look at, there is a meaning in the symbol that's given to Jesus Christ. Whenever the Word of God talks about Jesus being the Lamb of God, is that a different symbol and meaning than Him being the Rose of Sharon? It is. And He's not only called the Lamb of God, He's called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lion of the tribe. Jesus Christ. Is He the Lamb of God? Yes, He is. Is He also the Lion of the tribe of Judah? So you see, there are many different things in nature that the Word of God says. Now, Jesus, it doesn't specifically say this, but He says, it's like it's saying, Jesus is like a lion. He is strong and powerful. Jesus is like a lamb. He was offered as a sacrifice for our sins. Jesus is like the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, and all the other scriptures that you could look at that show that Jesus is compared to things in nature, the beautiful things in nature. You ought to be able to see Jesus Christ. In fact, when you get up in the morning and the sun begins to rise, the S-U-N. Now, is Jesus the S-U-N or the S-O-N? Which one is Jesus? That's right. Jesus is both. He is the S-O-N, the Son of God. But then when you look in the book of Malachi in chapter 4, the Word of God says that He is the Son of Righteousness, the S-U-N. The Son of Righteousness. That is, He shines brightly. He is as bright as the noonday sun. You remember when Peter, James, and John went up on the mountain with Jesus, and Jesus began to be changed, and the Word of God says that His glory shined as the noonday sun. So, can you see Christ when you look at all the things around you? And one of the things He says now is that out of Jacob there shall come a star. And that's what I want us to think about this morning, is that Jesus is a star. In fact, I'm going to say He is the star. He is more important than all of the other stars that you might want to consider. But He is called the star, and He is a star that came out of Jacob. Now that just means that as you look at the genealogy of Christ, if we were to take the time this morning to go to Matthew chapter 1, and you see that so-and-so begat so-and-so, one of the men in all that genealogy leading up to Jesus Christ, one of those men that is listed both there in the genealogy of Joseph and in Luke, the genealogy of Mary, you're going to find there's one man whose name is Jacob, And that's what the scripture means here when it says, out of Jacob there shall come a star. A star. Now, what is the word when you think about a star? I know we have a lot of different meanings today for the word star. Some of you teenagers, when you think about a star, Sister Kendra, if I were to say, name somebody who is a star. Don't say Jesus. Name somebody else that's a star today.
Paris Hilton.
All right, Paris Hilton, is she a star? Is she? What does that mean that Paris Hilton and all the other people that you could mention that are stars? Are there baseball stars? If I could ask one of the boys who's a star, they might have named a baseball star or a football star. Were there stars at the stadium this past Friday night? I think that they were stars. Were there people out there at halftime in the band? Were they stars? Yes, they were stars. That is, they were standing out as being very bright and very important. And there were a lot of different stars this past Friday night. But I'm telling you, brethren, there's one star that's above all the others. When you think about all the stars in this world, you always need to remember that there is a star that's brighter than all those others. Now, I'm not just talking about the star that led people to Jesus. We're going to get to that. But the first thing I want you to remember is not just that there was a star that led people to Jesus. I want you to see that Jesus Himself is the star. I want you to see that. Now, when you think about a star, let's think about some of the things that a star is a symbol of. One of the things that a star is a symbol of is rank and authority. For example, some of you are in the military and have been in the military. You know something about a star. Is a star a symbol of rank and authority? What's the highest rank in the army? What's the highest rank? I think. I meant to ask, is that correct, Brother Wendell? Other than the one above that. Okay, we're going to get to the commander-in-chief. But there's a 5-star general. I think that's as high a rank as you can get in the army, as a 5-star general. Why? Because, brethren, what do each of those stars mean? It means he's higher and higher. Is a 5-star general more important than a 2-star general? What's the point? The point is that a star represents authority and rank and power. And a star, let me ask you, is Jesus the greatest authority that there is? You take all those in authority. I'm talking about now. Let's talk about the army of God. I've mentioned a natural army. The army out here in the United States of America. You have men, sergeants, lieutenants, captains. You have majors. You have colonels. You have generals. You have 5-star generals. Did you know above that 5-star general, who is the head of that? Who's over the 5-star general? Say it again.
President,
yes. The President of the United States, who is Commander-in-Chief. And then we compare that, Sister. I know Brother Darnell and Sister
Nellie.
I couldn't think of your name, Sister Nellie. She said, "Christ is Christ. Really and truly, is He? We have a 5-star general, and then over all the different portions of our military, you have the Commander in Chief, and that's the President of the United States." But I'm telling you, there is a star higher than the President of the United States, and that is the star that came out of Jacob, and His name is Jesus. He's more important than all the other stars.
Amen.
He's more important than all the other men who are in authority, because Jesus is not just the commander in general. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. What does the star also represent? It represents government, doesn't it? On a flag of the United States, the United States flag, the flag of America. What's on that flag? What's one of the things that's on that flag? There are 50 of them. What is one of the things? Stars. What do each of those stars represent on the flag? They represent the government of each state. A star represents the government. Well, when you read in the Word of God about this star that came out of Jacob, this star who has power and authority, this star who's over all the other stars, when you read about this star, doesn't the Word of God declare in Isaiah that the government shall be upon His shoulders? I'm not just talking now about the government of the United States and all the other governments of this world. I'm talking about there's an army greater than the other armies, and there's a government above other governments, and there is a kingdom. Listen carefully, I'm leading up to a very important point. There is a kingdom that's greater than all the other kingdoms on this world. And the scripture tells us in the book of Daniel that all the kingdoms bow down to this one kingdom. And that one kingdom that they all bow down to, and that one king that they all bow down to, is the one that Balaam spoke of here, that says a star shall come out of Jesse. You see that there is a kingdom greater than all the other kingdoms. You see there's an army greater than all the other armies. And you see who is the king of that kingdom and the head of the army is Jesus Christ. He's the star that came out of Jacob. What else do you think about when you think of the star besides rank and authority and power and government? What else do you think about? Light. Let's talk about that. Light. Bright light. Isn't it wonderful to go out on a dark, dark night and see the stars? And you think about all those stars that are up there, and you think about the light. I think about the lights up there that are in the sky. How bright they are. I mean, I think about a bright light. I think about sometimes when it's so dark, how wonderful it is to see light. Have you ever been in the dark and you wanted to see the light? How many of you have ever been up all night with somebody that was sick? Or you've been up all night because of burdens and problems you had, and you kept looking at the clock, and you kept looking at your watch, and you kept thinking, oh, I wish morning would get here. How many of you have ever felt that way, that it's just been dark? I'm talking about literally dark, and you were waiting for the rising of the sun. Well, listen, brethren, there are a lot of people in this world that they're living in dark times. And it doesn't matter if the sun rises or the sun sets. It doesn't matter whether it's storming or hot or cold. They're in darkness every day. What kind of darkness? Let's talk about, we're going to be talking about Jesus being the star of light. But I want you to first tell me, in order to understand and appreciate the star that came out of Jesse, you need to understand that darkness prevails in many people's lives. Have any of you ever been in darkness? Give me some kinds of darkness. Give me some things that the symbol of darkness represents. What are some things that darkness represents? Darkness of what? Sin. Say it again. Sin. All right, the darkness of sin. Brethren, when I look at myself and you look at yourself, one thing you see and know and understand is like Isaiah said, when Isaiah saw himself, he says, I'm a man of unclean lips. You can say with the Apostle Paul that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So when you think about darkness, you see how dark you are. And you know the only thing in you that's light is Jesus Christ Himself. You are darkness, and you would have been nothing but darkness had Jesus Christ not been implanted in you. It's the only reason that you shine today. The only reason that you can let your light shine is because the star, Jesus Christ, is in you. Without Jesus, you know what you are? Dark. You are darkness. You're nothing but darkness. You're nothing but full of sin. You're nothing but wretched. The Word of God says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This whole world without Jesus is nothing but sinful and darkness. But with Jesus, there's a great change. Are you glad there's a star that came out of Jesse? Are you glad in the middle of all the darkness? Are you glad you can look to this star that came out of Jesse? I'll tell you, brethren, I'm glad when I look at myself, I'm glad I can look down in my soul and know Jesus is there. I'm glad to know in the middle of all this darkness, I'm glad to know Christ, the star, is in me. And He's not in me because of anything I've done. He's in me because the power of God came and Jesus was implanted in me. I thank God for the star of Jacob that's in me and in you, that causes us to be clean and righteous and pure. You who were sometimes darkness are now what? You are now light in the Lord. You know why you're light? It's because that star that came out of Jacob dwells in you. So you have the darkness of sin. Give me another kind of darkness that we have in our lives. Any other kind of darkness? Darkness of what?
Depression.
Okay, let's take the darkness of depression and discouragement. Have you ever been down in the valley? Have you ever been discouraged and despondent and depressed? Have you ever felt like there was no hope? Could you not see any light at all? And then all of a sudden, you began to get a little glimmer of hope. I'll tell you, brethren, Jesus is the star. He is our hope. It's not in men. It's not in people. The only hope that we have, the only thing that keeps us encouraged is Jesus Christ. God may use other people. And certainly He does, doesn't He? Has God ever used people to enlighten your darkness of depression? Has God ever used people to help you? When you were discouraged and despondent, has God ever sent somebody to you that spoke a word of kindness and encouragement that helped you to feel better? You know what motivated that person to do that? It was this star that came out of Jacob. It's the light that moved in that person. It's God. It's God, the Scripture says, it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So if you ever are a light to somebody that's depressed, you know why you're a light. You know how it is that you become a light. It's because the star that came out of Jacob has moved you and motivated you to do and say something that helped get them out of that darkness of depression. What's another thing that darkness represents besides sin and depression? Darkness of ignorance. Darkness of ignorance. How many of you have ever been ignorant? Anybody here ever been ignorant? Is there anybody here that ever didn't understand all of God's Word? Was there ever a time in your life you didn't understand all of God's Word? You remember how dumb you were back then when you didn't understand all of God's Word? When you didn't know it all. I'm talking about before you knew it all. Now let me tell you something, brethren. There's nobody that knows it all. Doesn't matter how much you've seen. And I want you to understand that you were in the darkness of ignorance. You had no knowledge. You had no understanding of the world, of the truth of God. And you know what happened that changed that? Jesus began to illuminate your eyes. And you began to see the truth. You know what happened? The star of light, the star of Bethlehem, the star that came out of Jacob, He came to you and He opened your eyes. And He gave you eyes and He opened your eyes and He blessed you to see and understand some of the truth of the Word of God. Isn't it wonderful that our Father in heaven sometimes shows us the truth of His Word? And whatever truth you know today, you know what you need to be saying? You know what I need to say to you? The same thing Jesus said to Peter. When Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know what Jesus said to Peter? He says, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona." Was it because Peter was smart that he understood? Was it because Peter had studied that he understood? No. The only reason Peter understood Jesus was the Christ, he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee." That's He's opened your eyes. He's given you knowledge. Who came? "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." You know what I see some of you thinking? I don't know what you're thinking. You know what the devil may tell some of you? He doesn't know what he's talking about. See, that scripture says, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my what? But my Father which is in heaven." Well, let me tell you something, brethren. Isaiah 9:6 says, His name, we're talking about the coming of Jesus in Isaiah 9:6. You go home and read and study it. "His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father." Jesus is the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is all of those things. Because Jesus says, "I and my Father are what?
One.
I and my Father are one." You ever been in ignorance? Are you still in ignorance? How many of you are still in ignorance? Yes, sir. There's not a person here that there's not some areas that we're ignorant of. You might have some understanding. You might have some light. But there's still darkness there. You know what you need to say? "Jesus, come and shine in my heart, in my mind, in my soul. Open my eyes so that I can see. Open my ears so that I can hear." Oh, brethren, we need to pray that God will shine the light. Christ will shine in us so that we won't be in the darkness of ignorance. So what do you need to do? When we talk about Jesus being the star As far as the government and authority, what do we need to do? We need to submit ourselves under that star, don't we? If there's a government, a real government that has real authority and real power, if there's a king that has real authority and power, what do you need to do? You need to submit to that, don't you? If there's a star that gives you light, brightness, like Brother Jerry says, a bright star, something that gives you light, what do you need to do? You need to look to that star. What else does a star symbolize? Let me ask you this. Anybody here been in the Navy? Okay, Brother Jerry. Did y'all ever use the stars? What did you use the stars for?
We looked at whatever instruments lead us where we want to. That's where you're getting at.
Okay. I'm talking about before GPS and all the other global instruments that we have, all the positioning systems that we have today. Before all of that, before there were any instruments to guide people in the sea or guide people on land, do you know what people used at night when they needed guidance? Do you know what they used in the daytime and at night? You know what they used at night? They looked to what? The stars. You know why? Those stars are constant. Those stars are always there. Those stars have always been there. Did you know the stars that I look at night? Did you know that Abraham looked up and saw those same stars? Isn't that amazing? That Abraham and Isaac and Jacob saw those stars, the same stars we're looking at. I wrote a poem to Teresa one time. We were in love. I was about 18 years old, 17 years old. My family went on a vacation. We went out to California, and I didn't want to go. You know why I didn't want to go? I'd rather see Teresa than the Grand Canyon. I'd rather see Teresa than anything that was out there out west. And I remember I was out there just moaning and groaning about not being with her, and I looked up and saw those stars, and I wrote her a letter, and I said, "Oh, it's wonderful to look up and see that the stars that I see now." I don't remember what all I said, but it was something. It was something about those same stars that are over your head that are over my head. And you can look up at those same stars that I'm looking at. Though we're miles and miles apart, we're looking at the same stars. Isn't that wonderful? That tells you something about the constancy of stars, doesn't it? The constancy of stars. They're constant. What about the star that came out of Jacob? Is he constant? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is he constant? Is he a guiding star? Does he guide you? What are you to do to that star of authority? You to submit yourselves to the star of authority. What are you to do the star of light? You're to follow that light. Go with me to the New Testament very quickly. Please turn in your Bibles. I want you to look at the New Testament. Let's begin in 2 Timothy in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Please look in your Bibles at 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 19. I just want you to look at a couple of scriptures. I want you to see that the Bible in the New Testament just zeroes in and concentrates on this star that came out of Jacob. The star that Balaam prophesied. There shall come a star out of Jacob. That star is Jesus Christ. Now, while I talk about this star who is Jesus Christ, I want to ask you a question. Everybody listen carefully. Can you be a star? Can you be a star? Can you be a star? Okay, heads are going like this and heads are going like this. Can you be a star? Yes, you can be a star. In fact, the scripture just came to my mind. The Word of God says in the book of Daniel chapter 12 that the righteous, listen carefully, it's talking about the people of God. It says, the righteous shall shine as the stars forever. The righteous, the people of God that are trying to live a godly life, do they shine as a star? Do you have people in your life that you look at them and you say, that's a star. That's somebody that helps guide me. That's somebody that encourages me. Do you look at people like that? In my life, I have always had people that I looked to, and they were stars for me. They helped me. They guided me. Is the Word of God, the Bible, is it like a star also? Is it a light? Brother Jerry said the star is a light. Does the Word of God give you light? David said in Psalm 119, 105, thy Word is a what? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path is the Word of God a star? Does the Word of God enlighten you? Does the Word of God teach you and guide you and instruct you? Now what I want to lead to right here is this star, this light will lead you to one star. What's the star that this light leads you to?
Jesus,
that's right. Look now at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, the Word of God says, we have also... Now, what did back then in Numbers 24:17, what did Balaam prophesy? There shall come a star. Now, I want you to hear what Peter says. Peter says, this is 2 Peter 1:19, the Word of God says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto, what's the word of prophecy that we have? What's the word of prophecy that we have? It's the Bible. The Bible. We have a more sure word of prophecy. We have the Bible. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. Do you need to take heed to the Bible? You need to take heed to it. As unto a light. Is the Bible a light? Yes, it's a light. That shineth in a dark place. Is this world a dark place that the Bible will give you light for? Yes. And you need to take heed to this Bible until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Now, who is this day star that arises in your... I'm not talking about the final resurrection. I'm talking about the day star, the star that came out of Jacob, arising in your heart. You see what that's talking about? Brethren, as I read and study the Word of God, as I take heed unto the light of God's Word, as I keep doing that, you know what this star, you know what the light of God leads me to? It leads me to the star, Jesus Christ. It leads me to the day star. And you know what that day star does? It arises in my heart. It gets stronger. The more I read the Word of God, I feel the power of God. I feel Jesus more in me. The more I walk in the light of God's Word, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, the more I read His Word, the more I see that bright and morning star. The day star arises in my heart. Revelation chapter 3. Turn quickly there. Revelation chapter 3. I'm not going to read all of 1 and 2, Revelation chapter 2, verse 28. One of the promises to those who overcome. This is the promise to the people of God in the church at Thyatira. When they overcome, he says in verse 28, Revelation 2, 28, and I will give him the morning star. The morning star. You know who the morning star is? Well, can you prove that? Yes, you can. Revelation 22, 16. Revelation 22. We're just going to go to one other scripture after this, so please look carefully. Look at your Bibles. Revelation 22, 16. I want you to see there was a star that came out of Jacob. I want you to see that we have that star today, and I want you to be thankful for the star that we have, and I want you to know that all the other stars you want to talk about are nothing compared to the star that we're looking at this morning. Revelation 22, verse 16. Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. One of the last statements that Jesus makes is, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root. Is he a root? Is he a root? I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Jesus is the bright and morning star. Now I want you to listen, Rick. This is the prettiest part of everything that I've seen this week. I want you to back up now in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Whenever we sing, this is in Matthew chapter 2. When we sing, we'll close right here, but I want you to listen carefully to this. When we sing Beautiful Star of Bethlehem, or when you think about a star, the star of Bethlehem, or when you think about the wise men seeing the star, what star do you think about? What's the first star that comes to your mind? And don't say it in light of what you heard this morning. But before this morning, if I'd said, tell me a little bit about the Star of Bethlehem, or tell me anything that stands out in your mind about a star in the Bible, what star would you have talked about? Somebody tell me what star you would have talked about.
The guiding star. The star in the sky they were following.
Okay, the guiding star, the star that the star that the wise men followed. Okay? The star that the wise men followed. That's what I would have thought about. And I want you to follow this. This is beautiful. Was that a beautiful star? You think that was a beautiful star? Yes, it was. Look, Matthew chapter 2, verse 9. This is the wise men. And when they heard the king, this is Matthew 2, 9. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. Do they see this star? Do they see it back there in the east? Do they see this star now? What star is this they see? It's not Jesus. No, it's not Lucifer. It's the star that God put up there to guide them. Now watch this. They saw the star in the east. It went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You see that? Now, what star is it that he's talking about in verse 10? You might not agree with me, but I think the star they rejoiced over was not that star they had seen. And they've already been talking about that star. They've already been following that star. But that star led them to the child Jesus Christ. And when they saw Jesus, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You know what I'll do when I see the star that came out of Jacob? You know what you'll do when you see how bright and glorious and powerful and authoritative Jesus is, when you know that Jesus is on His throne? And brethren, I want you to know Jesus is already on His throne right now. You know what you'll do when you see Jesus as He is? When you see this star, you will rejoice with exceeding great joy. May God help us to see the star that came out of Jacob every day is my prayer for Christ's sake.